Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace. Something we pray for. I think something we think about more often than we pray for it. I continue with a very short sermon series. Started before Christmas, right before Christmas, called The Greatest of Gifts. We've looked at the gift of Jesus Christ. We've looked at the gift of grace. We've looked at the gift of grace upon grace, and we'll look at salvation eventually and other things. This week was quite the week, right? Another stellar week for Minnesota politics. Another stellar week. Not a joke, right? We look stupid. And we're not stupid. We have a long, great history of, I think, loving kindness, loving our neighbors. Granted, we are also the people who elected Jesse the Body Ventura, who was interviewed the other day, which I watched, which is very interesting. There's a lot of talking heads, and I don't want to be one more of them. I don't want to make this a political message at all. That's not why I'm here. And I kind of sifted through the madness, and I've watched videos like you have, probably as much as you have or as little. Watched a lot last night, which I thought was interesting because they said it was, you know, live footage of what appears to be peaceful rioting, which I'm very happy for. I hope it's true. I haven't heard it's not. But I wanted to talk about peace that we have as a Christian long before this week unfolded. I think that's the right approach. To talk about the right or the left politically, I think at this juncture is a mistake. I mean, honestly, what's the point? We're so polarized. We're so interestingly enough polarized as a nation. No matter where you sit, there's trouble. If you love our sitting president, that's one thing. If you don't, that's another thing. Everybody has their opinion. I'm here to try to help you learn as a Christian. That's my focus. And so I want to try to help you as you process what's being shown to us as Christians, as Americans, as Minnesotans. And I also want to try to sensitively look at the world around us and know how to pray and know how to find peace for ourselves. I think that's the most important thing. So as we begin this conversation a little bit, and look, of course, at Scripture. That's where we always go. We don't go to our neighbors and ask their advice. I mean, we can, but we should go to Scripture first. I want to sensitively ask the Lord for His help and sensitively talk about some things that are going on. And then, as we pray and open this conversation, look and see what Scripture says, because some of you might not know what it says. Some of you might not remember what it says. There's a lot it says about submitting to authorities. There's a lot it says about peace through Christ. And we have some real giftedness in that. And that's where I want to land, okay? So let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for all the good. And there is great amounts of good. We thank you for all the good that no one is talking about that is happening because you are so good. We thank you for all the good things that have happened this week. There are many very good things, even for our nation, that have happened this week. We thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of this jungle of madness that we're calling American politics, and we're calling life as an American, and the world is looking at us, watching us over and over again, we thank you, Lord, that we can, as Christian people, turn again to your word, which guides us in a way like living water to a fresh resource where we can drink because we're thirsty. May we take a break from the madness today. May we take a break from the desert. May we take a break from the dryness of our souls. May we take a break from the chaos that is the world around us. May we take a break from it and draw close to you and find that you are, again, offering living water to us. It is through your word that we find it. It is through your son that we have it. It is everlasting life that you offer. And we thank you for the good. And as Christians, we thank you that we can focus on what is good and holy and just and upright and perfect and pleasing and beautiful and all the things that Paul tells us in Philippians we should focus on, things that are above, because this is not our home. And as the old hymn says, we're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. For the moment, we see chaos. For the moment, we see despair. For the moment, we see death and struggle and bully pulpits in every direction. Father, let us just shed that for a half hour and again look to your word. Be with us as your people. Bless us for doing so. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. First of all, the first thing I want you to know is the Bible tells us that we find peace through Christ Jesus. There will be no peace without Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. 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 Yes, yes, and amen. A million times over. There will be no peace without Jesus Christ. Okay? There won't be. And we shouldn't look to a king or to a prince or to a governor or to a president to be our savior. That is a mistake. The term bully pulpit I thought was relatively recent. There's a Christian book written a few years ago called Bully Pulpit. It made a lot of headlines, caused a great stir among podcasters who are Christian. That is a very old term, actually. Very old political term. Bully pulpit. And really what it defines is people in high authority positions bullying from some sort of pulpit or some sort of podium or some sort of political place. And that can happen. You see that in government. You see that in politics. You see that in church. Heaven forbid. You see that in schools. You see that in administrative situations. You see that in business. You see that all over. I used to work for Winona State University. Saw it there. You can't get away from it. The world is full of bullies. Full of it. We find our peace through Jesus Christ. First of all, it's the first thing you should know. The second thing you should know is that peace is impossible without Jesus Christ. So we only find our peace through Jesus Christ. And secondly, it's impossible without Jesus Christ. Okay? And we are living in a bully pulpit society. I want to turn to primarily Romans 13. I also want to use some other texts that I've given you. Won't read all of them. Isaiah 32 is a great chapter. Probably won't get to that. That's just a reference for those of you who love Old Testament stuff. I do. I know my son-in-law does. Other people might. Philippians 4, 4 through 7 is great. James 3, 13 through 18. We could also go to Hebrews 13 and look at some things. There's so many different places. But Romans 13 is really where I want to land. And Paul talks about submission to authorities. This is how we respond to trouble overriding us. And I want to remind you that Paul lived a life worthy of his calling, lived a good life, and wound up in jail, eventually losing his head. So it doesn't really matter how well you live or how much you love. You can live a really good life, loving others, speaking the truth, doing what is right, submitting to authorities, and it may cost you your life. This doesn't guarantee anything. It only guarantees one thing, that when you submit to authorities, God is pleased. Third thing I want you to know. When you submit to authorities, God is pleased. Now, typically, the authorities are two. Unless, of course, you're submitting to authorities that are in the heavenly realms, that being God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and those are against your governing authorities on earth. Then they might be displeased and you might lose your head. Fourth thing I want you to know. This may be obvious, but I just have to say it. God is more important than any government. Sorry, that's the truth. Hopefully, as a Christian, you believe that, because where do we turn? We don't turn to the Constitution. We don't turn to the Bill of Rights. We don't turn to the governing authorities and talk about it for a half hour. We turn to where? The Holy Word of God. So this is what God, our Creator, the Lord, our Sustainer, the God who gives us peace, tells us. Romans 13. I want you to listen to it very carefully. It is so crystal clear. I wish at some juncture one president or one vice president would just open it and read it and say, you know what? If everybody just followed this, we'd be so much better off, but nobody ever does that. That's what I would do. I'd say, listen, shh, everybody sit down. I won't even make any comments today. Press. Get this straight. I want you to hear it. Paul writes in Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Now, if everyone lived that way, what happened in Minnesota this past week probably wouldn't have happened. Regardless of anything else, if everyone just took that sentence and lived that way, there'd be a lot less tragedy, right? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Do you get that? Now you might say, was the Nazi regime instituted by God? Yes. That's what it says. Does that mean God liked it? No. So here's the question. Did God raise up Babylon to overtake the Jews? Yes. Did God raise up Assyria to overtake the Jews? Yes. Did God raise up Persia to overtake the Jews? Yes. Did God raise up the Roman Empire to overtake the Jews? Yes. Did God raise up the Nazi regime to kill 6 million Jews? Apparently. Does that's what happened? Does that mean he's happy about it? No. I think sometimes God wants us to submit and fight, all in the same fell swoop. But he also wants us to believe and follow him. We're told historically the Jewish people are a stiff-necked people. And God will bring the fullness of the Gentiles into him before many will believe. The unfortunate reality is people need some serious, severe situations to bring them to their knees. Don't be one of those people. That's the message, really. Let every person be subject to governing authorities, Paul writes, for there is no authority except from God. Who's Paul writing to? Us. Believers. He's not writing to unbelievers. He's not writing to people who do not believe in God. He's not writing to the Nazi regime. He's not writing to anyone who is against the Jew. He's not writing to anyone who is against the Christian. He's writing to Christian people. This is how Christian people show Christ's love to the world. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. That's a fact. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. If you're going to fight against the lion who isn't right by God, you may lose your head. God doesn't say, don't fight against it. God says, expect the authorities to be from me, and expect the authorities, if you resist them, to be against you. Jesus was against the authorities in his day. And in a very real sense, they wanted him dead at every turn, at every corner. Jesus eventually gives up his life for us and allows them to kill him. Inadvertently allowing the Jews to kill him. Inadvertently allowing me and you to kill him. Our sin. So here's the message again. Let every person, that's every person, be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Simple. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct. Now, this is usual, but to bad. Well, what's bad and good in rulers' eyes? Sometimes not the same as in what's God's eyes, right? Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good. You will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger. That's kind of a modern term there. An avenger who carries out God's wrath of a wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Basically, Paul is saying, if you owe somebody something, pay it. If it's taxes, pay it. If it's money, pay it. If it's respect, pay it. If it's honor, pay it. Now, this is a problem in our country. This is a problem in Minnesota. This is a problem around the world. This is a problem in Minneapolis, Portland, Chicago, New York City. Any popular, massive city in our country, this is a problem. There are many, many people who don't pay what is owed to the people who are in power. You want life to go well with you? Typically, you should obey the authorities. We went to a Timberwolves game. I went to a Timberwolves game with a bunch of younger people than me Monday night. We sat about 6 feet from the back wall of the Target Center, way up high. All right. Great cheap seats, had a lot of fun. Great. Never been to a Timberwolves game. We sat there a little bit and talked to her. We said, let's just sit and let everybody else leave so we don't just have to stand and walk and stand and walk and stand and walk. It was fun. All of a sudden, we're sitting there. Some of us are on our phones. We're talking, whatever. I hear from about 100 feet down, it's kind of like that, right? Hey! Time to go! Oh. I said, we should go. It's time to go. They want us out of here. Can't blame them. It's, you know, 10:30, whatever. Yeah, it makes sense, right? Did we resist? No. In our heart, maybe we said, that's a little, you know, much. Well, no. We can't blame them, right? They don't want to be there all night. They're trying to clean up, get us out of there. If we resisted and said, we're staying. Lock up. What would have happened? You know what would have happened, just like I do. There's police officers down below. They've got the coats. They've got the badges, right? Minneapolis Police Department. What would have happened? I said, we're staying. What do you think would have happened? Over a basketball game? Over the Target? What? When people disobey the law, what do you think is going to happen? Well, apparently, really, really bad things happen. And sometimes, even if you obey the law, really, really bad things happen. But the Christian is to do what? What should our conduct be? Do we get anything from this? Our conduct should be to listen, to be subject to governing authorities, because God has put them in that place. And if we resist these authorities, it will not go well with us. We will incur judgment, verse 2 says. Rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you not have any fear whatsoever of the authority above you? Paul seems to write. If you do, then do what's good. You will receive his approval. Most of the time. I think all the time. But most of the time you'll receive even the governing authority's approval. Interestingly enough, God says to us through Paul about God's servant who he's put to rule over us. He says, for he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. Again, Paul is speaking to the Christian. How should the Christian be if he does not obey, if he does not listen, if he does not follow what is right, if he does not continue to believe in what God says? How should a Christian be? Afraid. Because governing authorities do not bear the sword in vain. They do it to protect the people. I want to pause there for just a minute, and I want you to flip ahead to, strangely enough, Hebrews 13. All right? Romans 13 to Hebrews 13. My wife and I sometimes have a fun argument about who wrote Hebrews. She says, I think a woman wrote it. I said, there's no way. There's no way. I think Paul wrote it. Does it really matter? No. We have this beautiful letter to the Hebrew people. Now, here it is. To the Jewish mind, this writer is writing how to behave, how to conduct yourself as if you were a Christian. They are writing to the Jewish mind, or even maybe the Jewish believer, probably Jewish believers, reminding them that Christ is King, King of Kings, and this is what the King of Kings says to do. So this is what Jesus tells his once favored people, the Jewish nation, the Jewish mind, the Hebrew. We get to sit in on this conversation beautifully. As Christian people, we receive it as well. Hebrews 13, let's begin with 5, shall we? Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Well, what were we just talking about? Fearing our authorities. What can man do to me? And then, interestingly enough, Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I'm not talking about me, but maybe. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm also talking about your elders and your deacons. Maybe I'm also talking about your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, those people who lead you. We're called as Christian people to remember our leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of the way of their life. So discern, did their life turn out well? Did it not? Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside of the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Sanctification is the issue. Jesus is constantly trying to purge us of our sin, purify us, and in a sense eventually glorify us. Verse 13 says, therefore let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. That is, of course, the city with Christ, the eternal city, city of everlasting. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. How do we do that? That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Whose name should be on our lips to all people? Jesus. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I mean, if we all live that one verse, Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. No one would ever be fired. More than likely, no one would lose their job. More than likely, God would see fit that every business grows, every business is blessed. Jails would be empty. Families would not be broken. Relationships would not fall apart. One verse. Throw this in the context of Minnesota this week, and what do you have? We have a duty, people, as Christian people, to speak to right and wrong. But in the context of Scripture, in the context of obeying Jesus Christ. And I realize the world doesn't have Jesus, so it's kind of a moot point. But what is right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right, and everybody's opinion is equal. Everybody's opinion is congruent. It's all the same. It's all level, right? No one can make sense of it, and it's no wonder. Our moral compass is gone. Our leadership is whatever it is. Bully pulpits everywhere. I know a lady who works for the Minnesota Department of Education. Texted her yesterday. She texted back, texted her again, texted her back. She's saying, please pray for us. They're talking about, in a very real sense, pulling all of our funding. She works to legitimize and reissue public school lunch programs. People are keeping their kids from school in Minneapolis. We can't do the reviews we need to do. The FBI is deeply involved in this scandal from COVID still. That's 5 years ago. 6 years ago. When billions of dollars, your money, if you're a Minnesotan, your money and mine, billions of dollars, I don't even know how many anymore, disappeared. That's just one problem. Because people aren't submitting to their authorities. We haven't even finished Romans 13. Back to Romans 13. Whatever you owe, you should pay. Taxes, revenue, money, respect, honor to whom is owed. So I have some very practical advice. I learned this during COVID. Had a very interesting conversation with a friend of mine who lives in the cities. We had kind of it wasn't a heated conversation. It was just more of an elevated sort of context. He said, Mark, if you were a young black man driving through Woodbury and the police pulled you over, what would you do? I said, well, now granted, this is 5 years ago. I said, the first thing I do, and I'm a middle-aged white man, the first thing I do is I reach above my head and I flip on my dome light. That says to them, oh, this guy wants me to see what's happening in his car. It's the first thing I do. Second thing I do is I roll down my window, just after I put my car in park, whatever, turn on all the lights I can, and I get all my information right here, and I put my hands on my wheel. Because that's the best way I can submit to these authorities. No problem. Now, if I get shot in some sort of strange way, this is what happened, right? There's no reason for me to ever get shot. But I am not a young black guy who's leaning back in his seat, or a young white guy who's leaning back in his seat and not complying. First thing I do is light it up, roll it down, and have everything ready that they need. Oh, and by the way, I make sure my insurance is paid, and I have it with me. And I make sure my license is up to date, try to have it with me. And I make sure hopefully all my lights are working. That has and has not happened, but that, you know, whatever. Try to do all the things I can. That says to the authorities behind me as they're shining lights and slowly approaching, and often now I'm waiting, like, if remember the last couple times this happened a couple years ago, I'm over here and the guy's over here. Oh, you're over there. Reach over. Smart of them. That is respecting authority. That is honoring who is watching over me to keep me safe. The point of Scripture seems to say that make their job easy. Make it a joy to watch over you. That's what the Bible is telling us as Christian people. If someone watches over you, make it a joy. Make their job joyful. That's the best thing I can do as a Christian. The best thing you can do for your boss is to make being your boss a fun thing, a good thing. And yes, I am the first guy in line to admit and say wholeheartedly, that's not the way I've worked through my life. My boss was a burden, usually. But I think we have to reset in this climate. I think we really have to rethink about our hearts and minds. Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything. That's the goal. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. You want to really keep the law? Not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law? Ben White and I were talking about this last night. You want to really keep the law? Not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law? To have a spirit that loves to keep the law is to have the spirit of Christ. To have this loving spirit who wants to obey and wants to give others what they deserve, what you owe them. We talked about this in recent weeks. Try to outdo each other in honoring one another. Same idea. For the commandments, it says, verse 9, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love does no wrong, excuse me, I've got to be able to read here. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's why Christ fulfills the law, doesn't abolish it. He fulfills it by giving himself up to it and fulfills it because love covers a multitude of sins. So him being put on the cross by himself, him taking up his life and losing it for us is the complete idea of love. It fulfills the law. Besides this, Paul says, you know the time that the hour has come to you to wake from sleep. That's a great analogy for us. Paul is writing for us to kind of shake us awake. Wake up. Do what is right. This term means to kind of resettle, get a new groove, find a new way to live, walk in a new way. Wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, nor in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Now, Jesus is crystal clear. Those people who don't want their deeds to be exposed, stay in the darkness. You want your deeds to be exposed? Turn on the light. be a joy to those who are watching over your souls. Be a joy to those who are in authority over you. That's the Christian response. That's the Christian duty. That's the Christian approach to living. And again, I don't want to say what should happen or what could have happened or what shouldn't have happened this week in Minneapolis. You know what did happen as well as I do. A woman was shot and killed because she was leading a group of vehicles in protest. Could that not have happened? Yes. Could have easily not happened. But that's not what happened. And I'm not saying shame on her. I'm not saying shame on the government. I'm not saying shame on anyone. It's just too bad that people have to lose their lives because of the way we're beginning to look at authority. And I said this a couple weeks ago. That's why Scripture, to me, has come to a place where it is all about Christ's authority. Your life in Christ, your peace in Christ, is all about how you look at Christ's authority. Colossians 1 is a great place to look. And peace through Christ only comes when you recognize that He is above all things and He loves you. And He loves you with an everlasting love. Jesus died once. Done. Finished. You're not going to get another chance. Nothing else needed. And so Paul seems to say, put away all these things. Put away the arrogance. Put away the, oh, I should do this, and I should do this, and I should say this. And put that away. Put it away. The commandments tell you what to do. By understanding the doctrine, we understand our duty. That's crystal clear over and over again. If you don't know what the Bible says, you can't understand what to do. So we preach doctrine. We teach doctrine. I tell you what you should be doing. It's up to you to do it. It's up to me to do it, right? Bully pulpits. And in and amongst it all, God is in control. And there are still wonderful things happening in our country. I didn't know this until last night. Do you know that the president of Venezuela and his they've had a bounty on their heads for decades? Do you know this? Obama. $25 million bounty on their head. That's a long time ago, President Obama. Trump, up that. Biden, up to that. Trump, upped it again. Do you also know that more people have been killed due to the drug smuggling and the impropriety done to people around the world for decades from these people in Venezuela? More people have died from the activity in Venezuela than from World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, Vietnam, and all of it combined? Do you know that? And not one life was lost this week in capturing the leader of that country. That's pretty remarkable. And I'm not saying, wow, look at Donald Trump. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God is doing some amazing things. And that's not what you're going to hear Okay? What we need to focus on and what we need to hear is the Word of God. Because that's going to bring us joy. That's going to bring us peace. He is our peace. And Christ is still very much at work, both here in our church, in your homes, hopefully, and in mine, and around the world, even in the state of Minnesota. God is at work. And if you're willing to look, if you're willing to see it, God is at work in individuals doing amazing things. Just had this conversation last Sunday with a lady who was here, who was a member here, an old friend. If you're willing to see it, God is doing some amazing things. So thank him. And also be warned. Thank him and also be warned. Do what the Bible says to do. And secondly, understand that salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Verse 11, Romans 13, 11. Christ is coming. He's already on his way, I like to say. He's already on his way. The only reason he's taking his sweet, God-loving time is because of grace. He wants more people to believe. Paul writes here through the Romans, in these days of persecution, before he lost his head, literally, for doing what was right, Paul says this, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. And Paul seems to say, getting rid of these things, sexual impropriety, drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. Just curbing all that garbage, getting rid of it, putting it to death, letting it leave the new man or the new woman, leaving it to die in the grave with the old man or the old woman. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Stop feeding it. Because in feeding it, you're just going to gratify its desires. You want something to die, stop feeding it. Simple. Last little reference, turn with me to Philippians. We'll wrap it up there. Philippians. So many places we could turn. Philippians. Great place to go as we wrap this up. Philippians 4. Let's begin reading with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. What should we be busy with? Rejoicing. Thanking. Praising. Singing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, Paul says. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Be reasonable. Be reasonable, he says, because the Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Talk to God. Tell him what you need. Ask him for what you need, even want, through prayer and supplication. Don't be anxious about it. Ask him. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a promise, people. That's a promise for who? Not just any Minnesotan. Not just any American. Not just anyone living in 2026. That's a promise for the believer who knows Jesus and is willing to live for Christ and make him Lord and Savior. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace through Christ. All of you got a text right around the New Year's from me. It said, this is my prayer for you. Peace in 2026. That your heart may have peace. There's so much anxiety, so much concern, so much despair, so much worry, so much doubt. I think a lot of it is that we don't get right with God. And we keep listening and watching the world and we say, what are we going to do? what we have today. What are we going to do? Let's get right with God today. And with that step, there'll probably be a little more peace. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask that you will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. As Philippians 4 goes on to say, may we focus on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, we should think about these things. And what we've learned and received and heard and even seen in the Apostle Paul and in the language of Scripture and in the person of Jesus, we should practice these things and the God of peace will be with us. Father, how we need peace in our land. We pray for our leaders. We pray that they may be sensitive to the people. We pray they may be sensitive to life and death. They hold life and death in their decision making, in their hands. May we as Christian people submit to our authorities so that it goes well with us and well with our neighbors and well with our children and well with our grandchildren and well with the life you've called us to live. May we learn early in life to submit to our authorities, to simply obey, to do everything, to show people that we want to obey, to respect authorities. May we teach our children to respect authority. May we discipline them and love them so they listen to authority. May we teach them God's word so they understand whose authority we really recognize when we give our life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is all about the authority of Jesus Christ over us, around us, in us, beside us, behind us. The Bible tells us that righteousness brings this forth. It's the vehicle that moves the teaching of authority. So, Father, let us obey. Let us be people who are willing to search in our own hearts and minds what is true and right and noble, good and kind and lovely and peaceable. And forgive us where we have fallen short. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our mouths, where we've laughed at this or made fun of that. There are real people, real lives, real breath, real eternities who are subject to punishment and disobedience and destruction in our land. Whether we're illegal or legal, whether we're Democrat or Republican, whether we're Minnesotan or something else, whether we voted for Donald Trump or not, we're people. Eternal vessels. Souls living in fleshly tents for now. May we show people how to live. And in that process, may we be good to each other as Christ's people. And may we learn to distance ourselves to those who are destructive. May we learn to distance ourselves from those who cause damage to our obedience. Be with your church, Lord. Purify it. We thank you for the truth. It certainly keeps us from hell. We thank you, Lord, for Christ, his everlasting love. May we lean into that as the year moves forward. And may we focus on the things from above. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.